A new poll from Gallup out this week showed that Americans' pride in the U.S. is at an all-time low, with only 45% saying they're extremely proud to be Americans. This marks the second straight year that number was below 50%. And so today, on this 4th of July holiday, we're going to talk about patriotism, what it means, and how our ideas about it might be changing. Joel Westheimer is the University Research Chair in Democracy and Education at the University of Ottawa. He's also the author of Pledging Allegiance, The Politics of Patriotism in America's Schools. Joel, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Judith. Nice to be here. Happy July 4th.
Thank you. You've written about two different kinds of patriotism. Can you explain those for us?
I can, yes. I talk about an authoritarian patriotism and a democratic patriotism, and I'll quickly tell you about what each one is. We all know that every country has likes to celebrate the country and likes to, you know, every country has an Independence Day of some kind or a national celebration day. And that's wonderful. We all want to celebrate the things we're a part of. But totalitarian nations and authoritarian nations, dictatorships and so forth, tend to do that celebration through what I call an authoritarian kind of patriotism. And that is a kind of my country right or wrong patriotism, meaning that there's no place for criticism of government actions or of introspection into how we can become better or whether, you know, we have disputes that we might want to settle or improve the lives of people living within our country and outside of our country. So it's a kind of whatever the government says goes, and no one is allowed to question that. And we're familiar with those forms of patriotism. We've seen them all throughout history in North Korea and China and the former Soviet Union and so forth. A democratic patriotism, I coined that phrase because I didn't like the idea of for those of us who believe there is a place for critique and criticism of government policies and who believe that loving your country means standing up for the ideals on which the country was founded. I didn't like the idea that we had given up on the word patriotism, you know, that we weren't allowed to be patriotic, because for me, that's the highest form of patriotism. And so what I've seen in some programs in schools and in the way other people think and talk about patriotism is that patriotism means, you know, loving your country so much that you want to improve it and make it better. And at times that means standing up and saying that things are not right. And I call it democratic patriotism because it's a patriotism, a kind of patriotism that's not at odds with democracy, with a democratic form of governance. And the kind of patriotism we've seen throughout history where it's my government right or wrong, that is at odds with democratic governance and with issues of things like human rights, social justice, and ideals of freedom that our country was founded on.
Is that authoritarian type of patriotism often linked to kind of a cult of personality where it focuses on the leader maybe as much or more so than the country itself?
Absolutely. It's a cult of personality, and sometimes it's because people really are taken in by the charisma of a leader, or sometimes it's because that's forced on them. Other kind of signposts when you know a kind of totalitarian patriotism is going on is mindless. Well, this is going to be one close to your listeners and to us right now. Military parades, right, are a real prime example of a totalitarian kind of patriotism, because it's asking the country to come together to celebrate force and might over other countries. That's basically the message. Things that immediately come to mind, like the National Socialists in Germany, you know, marching in goose step, or China leading parades with missiles. Those aren't ideals that America was founded on. It doesn't mean that we aren't prepared to defend ourselves, but it's not what we choose to focus our celebrations and our pride on. What America was founded on, of course, you know, July 4th is such an an interesting holiday in this way because it brings out these differences. But, you know, we all know that the 4th of July, I mean, our nation was born in a challenge to authority, right? We are a rebellious people, and dissent is part of our DNA because we decided to leave a different nation, namely England, and form our own. And so we celebrate the idea that dissent is the engine of progress in a democratic society, that you have to have multiple points of view, that you have to have different ways of looking at things, that you have to think critically about social policies and change them. That's how we got the civil rights movement. That's how we got the women's suffrage movement. It's how we got gay rights. And, you know, that's the way a democratic society advances.
We heard from Linda on Facebook, who says that patriotism means not being complacent, because she says when you're complacent, you're complicit. And that really sounds like what you were talking about is at the key of democratic patriotism.
I think that's right. And you know what's so interesting about this, Judith, is that a lot of the symbols that people who lean towards a more authoritarian form of patriotism, a lot of the symbols that those groups embrace in our country, things like the Pledge of Allegiance, things like the Catherine Lee Bates, who wrote America the Beautiful, right? All those things were written and penned and created by really very left-leaning and often socialist members of our republic. And the reason they were created, let's just take Francis Bellamy for an example. Francis Bellamy is the original author of the Pledge of Allegiance. And the original pledge, which was in 1892, and it did not contain any reference to God at the time. But he was very critical of many of the trends of late 19th century American life, most notably unrestrained capitalism and growing individualism. He worried that school children, as well as adults, were starting to think only about themselves and about consumerism. It would be the equivalent of today of only thinking about, you know, your iPhone or your Facebook account and not about what it means to be part of something bigger than yourself. And he wanted America to reflect basic democratic values such as equality of opportunity. And he worked openly to have his country live up to its democratic ideals. And he was a self-professed Christian socialist. And that is why he penned the pledge. Now, was he patriotic? Of course. But it wasn't a patriotism of the authoritarian kind. It was a very democratic kind of patriotism. Catherine Lee Bates, who wrote America the Beautiful, was a poet at Wellesley College. And very similarly, she stood up and fought for a lot of the ideals of equality and freedom and liberty that that the country was founded on. And that's why she wrote America the Beautiful, because she, you know, she included the words, "America, America, God mend thine every flaw." And that was at the heart of what she wanted to get at. So the two of them and others wanted both adults and school children to think about the fact that life is more than just trying to get as much money as you want. And it's really interesting to me that the similarities between that period in history when many of these symbols were created, when people were worried about growing economic inequality. You know, it was a time grossly exaggerated wealth and a huge inequality between the rich and the poor. And we then, after that, enjoyed a long period of relative equality, and we are now back in that period of massive inequality. And so it's not surprising to me that, as you said in the opening to this segment, that that a lot of people are feeling less patriotic, because those are the people who feel like patriotism, like I do, is about pursuing a better life for all of us, not just the selfish pursuit of wealth for oneself. And we're in a period in America that is both not in line with those goals and in some ways a dangerous period.
We're talking with Joel Westheimer. He is the University Research Chair in Democracy and Education at the University of Ottawa. And we're talking about patriotism in the U.S. after a new Gallup survey says Americans' pride in their country is down. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What does being patriotic mean to you? Have there been times in your life when you felt more patriotic than others? What was it about those moments that made you feel proud of your country or united with your fellow Americans? And do you have memories of times when you didn't feel proud of the country? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in just a bit. Stay with us here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. Right now, we're picking up our conversation about patriotism in the U.S. Joel Westheimer is with us. He's the University Research Chair in Democracy and Education at the University of Ottawa. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Would you call yourself patriotic? If you do, what does it mean to you? And if you don't, what are some of the reasons you feel less comfortable with the word? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to the phones, and Nancy in Milwaukee is up. Hi, Nancy.
Hello to you.
Hi.
I have about 0 degree of patriotism, and the reason I feel it this way is that I have felt for a long time that our elected officials are paying a hell of a lot more attention to their lobbyists than they are to their constituency, namely us. When it is well known that they spend a lot of their time calling their contacts looking for additional money so that they can run their next election, that is very discouraging to know that they're not even attending their own committee meetings. They're just always looking out for themselves. I feel that Trump is making the U.S. Laughingstock of the whole world. I feel we're really in very treacherous times.
Thank you for that call, Nancy. And a lot there, Joel. And, you know, it sounds like Nancy feels like her government is not working for her. And maybe in some ways it's working against her. Is that something that colors how people feel about being a patriot?
I think it is, and it's why we're seeing those Gallup numbers that we're seeing. And, you know, what's interesting, of course, is that I agree with Nancy. This is a horrifying time in our country. It's a sad time that I hope we will get past and look back on. But there are people look at it in different ways. And in some ways, you could think of it as a matter of semantics, but I also wonder as a matter of strategy. So to say I'm not feeling particularly patriotic, and I've you know, would feel the same way right now. I'm not proud of our country. On the other hand, it makes me think of the, you know, saying my country right or wrong is like saying my mother drunk or sober, with the idea that that's ridiculous. You don't stand by your country in all times. On the other hand, when you think about that, my mother drunk or sober, I mean, I would stand by my mother if she was drunk. I wouldn't try and enable that, but I would try and get her into rehab. I would try and, you know, make her better. And so for some people, patriotism is really about trying to make the country better and might feel more patriotic now than in better times.
We're talking with Joel Westheimer right now. He's the University Research Chair in Democracy and Education at the University of Ottawa. And on Facebook, Neil said that he is patriotic, but not in a flag-waving America first way. He thinks America should help relieve pain and suffering and make a safer world for everyone. And Joel, I think Neil is showing some of that complexity you just talked about, that it's not yes in this case, no in that case, and nothing in between.
I agree. And, you know, let's go back to Francis Bellamy, the pledge. What's the line? One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Right. He intended that to express an egalitarian vision of America. It's a kind of way to it was a way to unite a divided nation at the time. And I think that's the same kind of patriotism we need right now.
Let's go back to the phones. And Kevin in Richland Center is up. Hi, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Something I wrote this morning that I got was it has to do with colors on a flag that on any flag that can blind people. I don't care what color is on the flag. I grew up during the Vietnam War, and the parallels to nationalism is it's always got to be monitored because they can become diseases. So the thing is the people didn't make the flag, or the flag didn't make the people made the flag. The flag doesn't wave the people wave the flag. But when the flag starts to burn people, maybe it's time to burn the flag.
Thank you, Kevin, for that comment. And Joel, that makes me think of places like Germany, where there is a real fear of a return of nationalism. And so that can sometimes lead to discouraging patriotism just to avoid that ultimate end.
Absolutely. And that was beautifully written, Kevin. I love that stuff about the colors and the flag. And I think that's right. And we all have a responsibility. If we really believe in the ideals of what this country was founded on, we all have a responsibility to think about the same things that Kevin is thinking about, but not to give up. But I think that, you know, try and recapture those ideals on which our country was founded. It was really, really beautifully put.
And Joel, you and your family were in New York City on September 11th, 2001, at the time of the attacks. Did that event have an impact on your feelings of patriotism or your definition of patriotism?
It did. The seeds of the book, my book, Pledging Allegiance, The Politics of Patriotism in America's Schools, came out of that experience. My wife and my, at the time, four-year-old daughter and I stood on a street corner, and we watched the second plane hit the South Tower. We watched both towers collapse into those impossibly small streets below. And it was very surreal, very disturbing, of course. And, you know, we spent the next few months communing with New Yorkers. It was an amazing time in New York where people were talking about really important things, about what kind of society we want to live in. There's a literary theorist, Amanda Anderson, who talks about that she thinks the purpose of literary theory is to figure out how we want to live. And I think that's a nice guiding principle for a kind of democratic patriotism, too, is for us to come together to think about how we want to live, what ideals we want to stand for, and how to fight those. But 9/11 was very impactful to me and my family, not only because of the tragedy that it wrought, but also because of the kind of attention to the ideals that our republic was founded on that it brought for a lot of people. Now, it also brought a much more ugly kind of patriotism for a lot of people. And that's the interesting and difficult thing about those kinds of events.
We heard from Brian on Facebook, who said he served this country for 11 years. I'm assuming that means militarily. And he refuses to wrap himself in the flag. Brian said, quote, "I would give my life for this nation." Is that patriotic? And how does that tie in to the ideas of, you know, serving the military? Often you have to follow orders and do what is said. And where does patriotism fit into that?
You know, when my book came out and I had some articles in magazines and there was a lot of press attention too, the largest number of letters I received contacts were from ex-military people or current military people. And I really enjoyed dialoguing with them. And they were people like, did you say Brian?
Yes.
The people like Brian, but also people who took offense at the idea that we should be critical of the country. And we had terrific discussions. It was really the kind of discussions that seem so difficult to have now. I had a lot of back and forth. And yes, of course, you know, in a military and in many institutions, there's a lot of order, obeying orders. And, you know, I'm an educator. So I think about in schools, do you teach kids to follow the rules? And of course, you teach them to follow the rules. You teach them about laws and about how we get along with one another. But you can't only teach that. And that goes for soldiers, not just only soldiers, but maybe especially soldiers. We can only, you know, it's easy to look at World War II Germany to know what happens when an army blindly follows orders. And soldiers have to both follow orders, but always carry with them their own sense of themselves, of their values and their dignity. And at times, they might need to summon the courage not to follow orders, but to disobey them.
And Dennis on Facebook wrote something that I think really echoes what you just said, Joel. He wrote that patriotism means speaking the truth regardless of how unpopular it is. So he's saying that actually dissent can be the patriotic alternative instead of just falling in line.
You know, when it comes to if we still consider ourselves a democratic nation, one of the only things that separates us from a totalitarian nation is the idea of dissent. Dissent is in our DNA, and it should be encouraged and taught. And of course, it's not taught enough in schools. We teach kids to follow the rules, but we don't always teach them to question those rules. There's a saying among teachers that everyone likes to talk about teaching critical thinking, but no one wants a classroom full of critical thinkers. So, because you don't want kids questioning everything, but it's very important that kids learn that people have different opinions out there and that it's their job to weigh those different opinions and come to their own conclusions on what's important to them and what they want to fight for to make this a better country.
And very briefly, Joel, because we only have about 30 seconds left, in a nutshell, do you think patriotism is a positive thing?
Oh, such a tough question, Judith. You know, I want to recapture it. And I do think it's a positive thing in the way that Francis Bellamy, the author of The Pledge, thought it was, which is it gets people to think about something bigger than themselves. But it's also very dangerous because it's so often in history, and we're seeing it today as well, leads to a kind of patriotism that is a we're better than you, and that we're in, you're out, and devalues the life of other people. And that's a dangerous form of patriotism. But if we can recapture its higher meaning, I think it's a good thing.
Well, Joel, thanks so much for joining us. That was Joel Westheimer, the University Research Chair in Democracy and Education at the University of Ottawa. He was with us today for a conversation about American patriotism on the 4th of July.